Pipe down.
I'm not sure whether it is the case.
I have an idea. They did make the Captain D a separate. He didn't run his own ship as well as. Consequently, he had more time for staff work and of course more staff. I suppose.
Yeah, more staff. Yeah, I didn't like it, frankly.
I wouldn't. I didn't want to agree to it.
Yeah.
I wanted to be in command of my own ship, as well as run the others. You know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can do it. I did it.
Well, it seems if you can do it, had been done that way, of course, and
yeah,
it certainly kept the number of staff officers you had.
Sure.
Kept them down.
Kept
the number.
Them down. Kept mine busy, doubly busy, because they had to do staff work for the other three ships, as well as run their own. But
They didn't want that. What Yeah, I think that would be a nice command.
That was a dandy command. Good ships. Good.
And the ships were new in those days.
They were new.
And
they were a treat to operate and to run. Oh, it was great.
Yeah. Did you, I thought you went on several cruises, did you?
Yes, went on a couple of good cruises. One big one. When I had this group as well as half of another group. Well, three ships of another group.
Yeah. How big was your group? Five?
Four.
Four.
Yep, four ships. And I had part of another group part of the time because I was senior to the senior officer of that group, so I was in command. We did a cruise there, to the UK, France, Germany, Norway, Sweden, Portugal. I think we went to Portugal on this one. That was a tremendous cruise. One of the biggest, the best.
Well, it was frankly the same size as a pre-war destroyer flotilla, wasn't it?
Yeah,
was about 8 or something.
Yeah. We were the first Canadian ships ever to visit Kiel.
Who were you?
We visited Kiel, which was quite an interesting thing. Tremendous interest. We had open ship for a number of days.
And of course,
there were thousands went through.
Yeah, they were a new type of ship in those days.
They were a new type of ship. It was extraordinary how we were received, you know.
Yeah.
In fact, I've got quite a few good pictures here of the reception.
Huh. Did you do any exercises with the German? Because Germany was very small.
Yeah, no, we didn't do anything. Nothing with them at all. No, we exercised with the RN, I'm sure. Yes, I think we did. And we were. That time, I think we did a NATO exercise too, either immediately before or after, or at the same time. That's a huge one, a tremendous one, which was good fun.
When you were in Germany and Kiel, were there, I guess the German Navy was just beginning to organize itself, and I suppose they were very interested in seeing your ships. And
oh yes, they were very interested. They really were, and we could show them what we could, some things we couldn't. But we were well received. An amusing little incident. A German captain was driving me around Kiel to show me the water line and everything. And we came to a point when the road stopped. They were building like mad, building everything. And he apologized because we couldn't go any further because he said, "I'm sorry, we run out of rubble."
Yeah.
I thought, well,
see,
that's tough luck. We did our best to get you more, but something intervened.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Had a tremendous big reception there. Gave me the Admiral Roga, who was the admiral of the ship, one of the merchant raiders.
Yeah, I think I recognize the name now.
Yeah, gave me his autograph book. Had a big dinner. We had another bit of an unnerving incident. We had to lay a wreath at the German war memorial.
Oh yeah.
You know, so we did it. You know, here were all these guys who we'd been shooting at for years, and I go and lay a wreath in the memory of the dead.
Oh god.
I got some good pictures of that.
Yeah. Well, you must maintain the niceties, must you?
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. It was just as though it was.
Yeah.
Our brothers. Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. That's what we do. Or don't go.
Yeah. Okay.
Where did we go from there?
So after you were in command of this squadron, what, for a couple of years again?
just a year. I think it was just a year. Mm-hmm. 23rd of January. 20th of June.
By the way, this squadron was all of Santa Rosa class, wasn't it?
All of Santa Rosa class.
Yeah.
57, 58, but a year and a bit, a year and a half. Then I went from there to Ottawa again as a member of the Naval Board and as assistant to the Chief of Naval Staff for plans.
Mm-hmm.
And as a member of the Naval Board, as I say. Well, I was there for 2 years on the board, which was an interesting, fascinating paperwork job.
Yeah, I
thought
there was
plenty
of that.
Yeah, but it was a very responsible, interesting job. At one stage, I was the sixth senior member of the Navy, seventh maybe, in the Navy.
Were you?
Yeah. Because of
the way the
being on the board. From there, I went to London as the senior naval member and the joint staff over there. And I was also chairman of the joint staff.
And you were a commodore at the time.
I was a commodore at that
time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how was London? What
years.
Did you, anything special happen there? Any?
We did the standard liaison work again, as we did in Washington. Trying to think of anything special that happened. Probably lots didn't. I just can't recall rapidly.
Yeah. I think a great deal.
Lots of social functions. Lots of liaison with the Admiralty, and again, they were very good. Very helpful, and
this would have been what year? 60?
This was 60 to 63.
Uh huh. Well, that was a bit of a
60 to 63.
I guess during that period, and if you were overseas, you probably weren't involved. But that was the time when they thought of, I guess, and canceled the general purpose frigates they were talking about building and
Right.
Yeah.
And it was, and we were also teetering about building a nuclear sub.
Yeah.
We were in Ottawa. We were writing reams and reams of paper on that.
Yes, I think. Let me see. Where did I hear about that? Oh yes, Graham Bridgman told me something about that.
Yeah, he would have known more than I, because he was being an engineer.
And then you opted for the conventional, the three conventional ones.
Yeah.
The order went, I guess, pretty soon after that time. Possibly while you were in England.
Not as such. We were investigating a lot of the equipment at that time.
So that really, no new equipment to speak of. Being done in Britain at that time for Canada in the way of new construction.
No, we didn't have any great building program.
Yeah.
At all.
Okay.
We were trying to get spare parts for some of our guns, and things, so that was a problem for getting them built and getting them off their line onto ours. That sort of problem we dealt with. Training, we did a lot of training, and we were responsible for all the Canadian trainees.
Yes, they were still sending him those.
Oh, sure.
He must have enjoyed it. When you lived in London, and
We lived in Wimbledon.
Did you?
Yeah. Right out of Wimbledon.
Uh-huh.
The children were small. We didn't want to be right in the heart. We didn't think we did. But we wanted to be out where the children could have the advantages of the Wimbledon Common and things of that sort. Getting to and fro wasn't any great problem. I had a driver in a car who was a tremendous man in himself. He was an ex-London bus driver, so
he knew
all about everything.
And where he go and how to get there.
So we lived up there and enjoyed it.
And then after that, what?
After that, I came directly from London to Squamish.
Oh, yeah.
In command of Naden.
Mm-hmm.
When did I come there? Middle of August, somewhere around there.
Now, this must have been pushing into the time when the early days of, well, integration, I guess, what we're talking about.
Yes, it was the muttering days when I arrived, and it was the active days when I left. The heavy planning was going on just as I was leaving.
Uh-huh.
The reorganization was in the yard. And I was the last Commodore to fly as Rod Pennant in Naden.
Oh, were you?
When I left, there was no more of that type of organization.
Yeah, yeah, right. You, yeah. What, how did you feel about this sort of situation? I mean, what did you think in the early days?
What?
Did you really believe that...
The reorganization? I didn't like it at all, because they were doing too much too quickly and too a lot of it unnecessarily. They were just taking a whole lot of people from three different organizations and trying to make them into one organization, and everybody had to know everything about everybody else was doing. For instance, they thought that a radar repairman in a ship could be just bring one in from the Air Force. Well, they're quite a different
mm-hmm.
creature. That sort of thing was part of it.
You know, I've heard people say that they thought, and who thought? Who were they?
Oh, well, this was Hellyer.
Yeah,
Hellyer. This was his plan. Everybody.
I gather he got a lot of support from the Air Force.
He got a lot of support from his one mouthpiece in the Air Force.
Yeah.
The Air Force worked entirely against it because they were gaining something. I guess if anybody lost, it was the Navy. So they were the smaller, and we're the one that could least likely be integrated into two other elements.
It's funny. I'm surprised in a way. I've had retired general officers in the Army say, well, of course, the Army really took it in the neck, and of course, the Navy didn't get off too badly, and the Air Force came out fine.
Depends on which side of the fence you're sitting
on. Yeah,
right. That's fine. I suppose so.
They were not at all,
no.
The Army weren't happy either, but I tend to agree with you. I think the Navy, felt it more.
Maybe they felt it more.
I think so.
Well, yes.
I think they were. You have a lot of traditions that were being turfed out. I think that was probably the thing that hurt more than anything.
That hurt as much as anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The other things you get along with.
Yeah.
For instance, calling an able seaman a corporal, you know, nobody else in the world understands.
No, no, that's right.
You know,
yeah.
No Navy in the world's got a corporal steering a ship.
Yeah.
That's a corporal can't.
Yeah.
So it's just foreign to. To our tradition and thinking and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So you were.
So I got just under the wire, literally. That was my due date to get out was the middle of February or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. This was a normal date of retirement for you. It
yeah.
wasn't a matter of
no. I
leaving because you were fed up with the way.
6 months prior to my, I got it prior to 6 months prior to my birthday to
mm-hmm.
give me my retirement leave,
mm-hmm.
and it happened to be on. 19th of February, 66. It was just pure circumstances. No, I didn't.
What was going on? I mean, obviously this was still a couple of years in advance of the unification
yes.
day.
Yeah.
How was the feeling in 2 years in advance of that practically? The morale of the thing of the
the morale wasn't very good.
Did that break through the
whole? Pretty much through the junior officers, and a lot of the chiefs and petty officers. You know, they got sort of well, 2 years and 4 days to go. Next day it'd be 2 years and 3 days to go.
Yeah,
couldn't wait to get out because
yeah.
they didn't like the whole future possibilities
mm-hmm.
for themselves or the service. Understandable. They don't like being uprooted from what they're used to doing. Nobody likes changes of that sort. And this was reflected in their whole feeling, and amongst the junior, amongst the officers.
Yeah.
As well.
I have a very definite impression that there was a good deal of wishful thinking amongst the senior naval officers that this thing really couldn't happen. Somebody would
discovered that it really wasn't going to be very good and something
that would be stopped.
To be stopped. Yep. Somebody was smart enough in the end.
Yep.
To the extent where, and again, looking outside or looking in, you almost have the feeling that perhaps the senior naval officers were not cognizant or aware of the necessity of really putting their case in the corridors of power in Ottawa.
I don't know.
I
don't
have a feeling about that. They were awfully, you know, if they don't ignore it, it might go away.
You may well leave that impression. I didn't get that out here. I didn't know about it.
No, yeah, I say you weren't.
No,
I was wondering if you'd
no.
come for this. I have had one or two people, when I brought the matter up, more or less agree, not entirely what I say, but more or less, they should have been a lot more politically minded than they were.
Yeah,
well, I mean, a great deal run the Navy, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's their own little niche. That's what we
yeah.
want to do. Take
yeah.
ships to sea, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
And, as long as somebody pays the bills, what the heck.
Yeah, perhaps that's true.
And I don't know. I just wonder whether you...
There were a number who were very violent against it. And said so. But that was just cause for their head being chopped off.
That's right.
Kenny Dyer, for instance.
Yeah.
Kenny Dyer objected to it and told Taylor, and Taylor said, therefore your services are no longer required, Admiral
mm-hmm.
Dyer.
Mm-hmm.
Just as fast as that.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't talk to me, I know.
Yeah. But well, this is, of course, this was a part of the thing. It had got to this stage. It had got so far before,
yeah.
I think, many naval officers realized how serious and how
was going to happen.
And an
yeah.
awful shock to some of them.
Yeah, sure.
I run across this point of view of naval officers more than of other services that people I have
already.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That it really was. Either I've been just happened to be the way I've talked to people. But I got the idea from the Army and the Air Force that they, you know, here it is, it's like the best of a buddy
yeah.
board job,
yeah.
and try and get everything we can out of it, and work to our
own. They were big enough to do that.
Well, to some extent, yet it was a different attitude.
They didn't object, I take it then, as seriously, as strenuously as the...
Yeah.
The Navy appears
well, I think they objected, all right, but they were more pragmatic about it.
Yeah, yeah.
They came to the realization that,
in fact,
it's going to happen. One of the most vitriolic people I spoke to in regard to Mr. Hellier have been Army officers.
Have they right? Oh,
yes,
really?
Indeed. Because these two in particular, I think, were. Because they were in NDHQ.
Yes.
And they didn't have something to do with this man.
Yeah.
Very closely. And it wasn't just simply such as Mickey Sterling or the Landmore maybe saw him once in a while and arrived up and had one interview and zipped. And these people were working with this guy all the time. You know?
And they were pretty ugly.
Yeah. So, it wasn't a happy time at all. But as I say, They made up their mind, I think, earlier than the naval chaps, that they better try and make the best of it and salvage what they could.
Yeah, quickly.
So it's sort of an interesting sort of thing. Well, so you, you were remote from this because...
I was really remote from it, and I was at the...
You had a base around
the... Based around, and we were just in the very elementary part of internal organization in Naden and the Yard integration there.
Yeah.
Well, I barely got into it.
You were bringing
Air
Force officer or somebody into, or was that?
Not even then.
Not even then.
No, we were just writing great organizational charts
and
writing terms of references and responsibilities.
Based on the Air Force organizational system,
I
believe.
Yeah, so yeah, I think so.
That's why the changes were on that.
Yeah. If I say it, the Air Force had darn good staff work.
Yeah, they'd always made a... They'd been an Air Force staff college for a long...
Yeah.
In Canada for a long time.
And they were very good at staff work and that sort of thing. They could drum something like that in a hurry.
Yeah. you think that was a fault with the Navy, that they did not have... We did not have our own staff, of course, and in fact, officers tended to go to staff courses, I always struck me, naval officers, at a later time in life than
yeah,
in...
too late. So many went too late.
Air Force and even the Army. Yeah.
And see, we had no staff course.
That's right, yeah.
Now, any staff course that we did went over to the RN.
Yeah.
Well...
Which limited your numbers right off the bat.
Limited numbers,
yeah.
And limited aspect,
mm-hmm.
You know, RN aspect and RCN aspect,
mm-hmm.
Shouldn't necessarily be the same. The drill and writing a letter and a message is the same, but there's more to staff work.
That's right.
Yeah. And so I suspect that we fell short there.
Yes, I think that's a viewpoint that others
yeah.
hold
yeah.
in
yeah.
retrospect now.
Yeah.
They can
sure.
see that.
I'm sure we did.
I mean, junior officers, there wasn't a hope in hell of anybody getting to do staff work. They,
no.
Because you had to go to sea to get promoted, so who
the hell wanted to go for the staff
yeah.
work when you wanted
right.
to get to sea to get promoted?
Yeah.
You had to do that.
That's right. Yeah.
There was no shortcut to it.
No. No, it was an organizational thing that perhaps yep. didn't serve you as well as it might have.
No, I suspect that's
yeah.
an analysis, a very true picture.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of interesting how it's easy to see it, when you look back on it,
yep.
you might have done things differently, but at the time, it wasn't too easy.
Day-to-day work, always short of people, always short of enough people to do the job that you had in front
yeah.
of you. Nobody could be spared. Except the ones you didn't want, and they were no good to send to a task force. Or
anyway,
something.
Yeah.
You know, so you didn't...
Yeah.
You didn't have the time. We were working always with lesser numbers, always lesser numbers than the other two services.
Yes.
See, our planning staff was minuscule compared to the Air Force and the Army. No, we just put along with a few.
Well, this is a matter, presumably a matter of policy, I suppose. But political policy or naval policy?
I don't know. Presumably naval policy. Except we were always short of people to send to sea.
Yeah.
To man ships, we were short of officers there always. So it was really we were being stretched too thinly.
Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't have the people for all the jobs that we were called upon to do.
Right. Mm. No, I think probably the Air Force was in the best position in respect to that, and that's how they got their staff work going because
yeah,
they had.
Sure. I suspect.
You know, after.
Yep.
A steady stream of pilots who came in one end but had to get out the other end to do something when they became,
yep. Sure.
After
yep.
5 or 10 years of flying and...
So they had to get out and get them into this.
Yeah.
And I think they recognized the value of staff work too.
Yes, I think they did.
I know the Air Force kept sending people to the College of Business Administration, London, I think. They sent quite a number there.
Mm-hmm.
Whole year, they'd go and take this degree course. We never dreamed of sending anybody that A there in first place or B for that long.
Eventually, of course, naval officers ended up in the Air Force Staff College in Toronto.
Yes, they did.
They were sent
yes,
there.
Sent there. Yeah, lots went there. I was never there, I think.
No, so this was a little bit later than
yep.
he was in.
Yeah, I don't mean about
two
it.
Senior press officers
yep.
of that time. But,
yep.
Somebody decided to do something about that,
yep.
I guess.
Cheaper.
Yeah, oh, indeed.
And we had somebody on the staff there as well,
mm-hmm.
which was a good thing.
Right. Well, then you retired in 1966.
66,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Officially, our last day was 7th of August, 66, around my birthday,
yeah.
which
yeah.
was the end of 55 years of age.
Never had,
retired.
Never had to wear the green uniform, so that's
never
a
did.
Blessing.
No.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh, well, that's I'm going to turn this off for a second.
Yeah.
Thanks very much. I go back a bit to the wartime period. You have the names of these the vessels in the ships that
yes, and
were in this destroyer flotilla, wasn't
yes.
there? In the channel.
Yeah. And they were...
Was this around D-Day?
Yes, right around,
just
yes.
Just before and after?
Yeah, this is
yeah.
during D-Day. We were lined up to go over. And we're there from there till, gosh, late on. Oh, August, September.
Oh, were you? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Saint Laurent, the Chaudière, Gatineau, Kootenay, and the Ottawa.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
The Ottawa was senior officer, and I was second in command. The Ottawa was in command then of Chummy Prentice.
Mm-hmm.
I was second in command, and took over when he... when he left.
Okay, well, that fills in that little gap that we had the other day. Yeah, right.
Okay, I, thanks very much, Commodore Bolton. I've been talking to Commodore Angus George Bolton, DSCCD, who served in the RCNVR and the RCN from 1933 to 1966.